Hello, this is Stephanie Zimbalist, and you're listening to TV Confidential.
If you're in doubt about angels being real, I can arrange to change any doubts you feel.
Ed Robertson, along with our guest Paul Green, television historian and author of several books on film and television, including Pete Duell, a biography. Pete Duell, a biography. Everything you wanted to know about the life and career of the star of Alias, Smith & Jones, another television series, one of which we'll talk about in just a second. You can order Paul's book, Pete Duell, a biography, by going to McFarlanePub.com. As we said in our opening segment, Paul, when it comes to the subject of Pete Duell, it is very easy to lose oneself not only in Alias, Smith & Jones, but the details of December 30, 1971, when Pete Duell took his life. But what we want to do tonight is we want to talk about some other aspects of Pete's career, including his work for Screen Gems in the mid-1960s.
Yeah, I feel that because Alias, Smith & Jones has become such a cult show, and obviously he shot himself at the height of his fame and almost immortalized himself as Hannibal Hayes, his earlier career has been neglected to an unfair degree. Especially Love on a Rooftop, which I think was one of the better situation comedies of the mid-1960s. And in a time when people were watching Beverly Hillbillies and Petticoat Junction and any manner of comedy shows that weren't based in any reality, Love on a Rooftop was like Bernard Slade's attempt to bring some intelligence into the TV arena, where it was basically young married couples could identify with the show on a realistic basis. Now, no one had to perform magic. No one had to be a millionaire from Ozark Mountains or something. You know, it just was basically based on a sound premise.
Well, not only was it based on a premise that a lot of viewers, especially a lot of young viewers, could identify with, Paul, but I understand it had some pretty solid literary pedigree, having been based on a Neil Simon play.
Well, when I talked to Bernard Slade, I interviewed him for my book. He is the creator of Love on a Rooftop with Harry Ackerman, mm-hmm. who was the vice president of Screen Gems. And Bernard Slade told me that Harry Ackerman was basically there in name only. It was a Bernard Slade creation. Now, when I mentioned Neil Simon's Burfoot in the part to him, he said it wasn't directly influenced by that at all, because he'd written other sort of stories based around this theme of newlyweds. And he says this theme of the struggling newlyweds was just a theme common to the romantic comedy genre. But if you look at Burfoot in the Park, the fact that they lived in an apartment, there was at the top of the apartment, they had to go through loads of stairs. There was similarities, you have to admit, but maybe Bernard Slade, you know, was taking that on some sort of subconscious level and not literally transferring.
Well, sure, you always want to think. I mean, I went through this with Roy, Huggins, as an example. When we talked about, say, The Fugitive, I mean, Roy was always very adamant that he was thinking of a way to contemporize the Western character, and he wasn't thinking of Sam Shepard, at least not deliberately. But
yeah.
But when you look at his treatment, when you talk to Roy in person about it, he would say, okay. Perhaps something subconsciously was triggered, but I wanted to do something different. As every creative person wants to think they're doing something unique and not just a variation.
Yeah,
of something
I don't think a person of Bernard Slade or Roy Huggins' sort of pedigree would actually want to consciously copy a formula.
They didn't need to,
but they would recognize in Burfoot in the Park or in the Sam Shepard case that there was potential there that could be transferred into a TV show.
Sure.
But But it's mixed in with a lot of other influences that are a part of Roy Huggins and that are a part of Bernard Tlaib. It's not a straight-out copying. But everyone is influenced by what's going on around them.
Exactly.
And if you've got a hit Broadway show in the mid-60s, early to mid-60s, Barefoot in the Park, it's sure to influence you. Especially if it's a success.
Yes, absolutely. We're talking to our friend Paul Green. Paul has written several books on film and television, including Pete Duell, A Biography, which you can order directly by going to Paul's website, www.peteduell.wordpress.com. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends, so for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
You mentioned Harry Ackerman, who was basically in charge of production at Screen Gems at the time.
Yeah.
And Love on the Rooftop, of course, was a Screen Gems production, Paul. But prior to doing Love on the Rooftop, Pete did another show for Screen Gems, which we should also talk about because one led to the other, as I understand.
Yeah, that was Gidget, and that was also a Harry Ackerman production.
With Sally Field.
And that was basically a Sally Field show.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Duell was very much a supporting actor. In fact, they credited him as Peter E. Duell, which is his full name.
Mm-hmm.
In his career, that's how they credited him. And he appeared in 22 out of the 32 episodes as he played a psychology student, John Cooper. He was a married psychology student. When I was researching the material for my book, I see TV Guide referred to John Cooper, his character, as a cubed psychiatrist. A very 60s expression.
Yes.
And Sally Field as Cutie Poo.
Yes.
So basically, you know, from the very beginning, that the critics were categorizing this show as light fluff. And it was. It was a very... I think it had the charm. I really do. When TV Land showed Repeat some years ago, it had a nice, bright, optimistic feel to it, an innocence that's completely gone from sitcoms today. And I'm not saying it's a classic sitcom by any means. It isn't. But Pete Duell wasn't. His acting, his comedy timing wasn't as refined as it was in Love on the Rooftop. You can see the progression from Gidget to Love on the Rooftop, where he really has perfected his craft a lot. In a few years, he's perfected his craft to a much higher degree than on Gidget. But then the material on Gidget was often stupid.
Well, it was what it was. I mean, it was what it was.
It was
a variation. I mean, again, we're talking about adapting from another form for network television. I mean, it was based on the popular movies with Sandra Dee.
Yeah.
And again, they were the equivalent of what we would call popcorn movies, Paul, because popcorn movies are date movies. I mean, they were meant purely to entertain, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No. And I mean, there's like capitalizing on the surfboard craze at the time.
That's
so
right.
Everyone was into surfing. And I mean, it's lighthearted entertainment. And funnily enough, when they repeated it in the summer, it actually started gaining an audience.
Yeah.
By that time, it had been cancelled. And it's almost like the surfing the mood of the show was actually more suited to summer screening than a winter screening.
Exactly, but and that happens a lot in television. You know, I mean that has happened on more than one occasion. A show picks up momentum late in the year. Or during the summer reruns when it's being discovered by a whole new audience, but by that point, you know, oftentimes the show is, you know, it's a moot point because the show, as you say, was already canceled. But you know, going back to Peter, okay, he may not have been doing Shakespeare at the time he did Gidget, but it was an important role for him because, as I understand, you tell me if I'm wrong, it was his first steady role, not only in television, but his first steady role as an actor.
It was his first recurring role, yeah. And from the friends I talked to regarding it, he was thrilled. There was none of this melancholy or jaded sensibility that he often had on Smith and Jones.
Mm-hmm.
It was all fresh and new, and he thought it was great, and one of his best friends bought him a colour TV just so he could watch himself on Gidget.
Yeah,
that's the sort of enthusiasm he had, and he had a lot of his friends had followed him to Hollywood, and so he had quite a good social group gathered around him. So it isn't like he went out to Hollywood and he was alone. He was surrounded by a lot of people back from, you know, St. Lawrence University and whatever. So he was having a good time at that time in his life, and he that followed in through Love on the Rooftop. And you can see there's quite an optimistic feel to his acting, and Love on the Rooftop, I think, is just quite an upbeat series.
We are talking to Paul Green, author of Pete Dool, a biography, A History of Television's Virginian, Weird Westerns, and other books on film and television. We will continue our conversation with Paul about the early career of Pete Dool. We come back on TV Confidential. Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/TV Confidential, x.com/TV Confidential, or at TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.